scores! Gilmore scores! With 1:03 left!
Off the glass, it left corner to Aguila. Aguila to the left circle. Passing to Yell, a shot. Save made by all. Aguila, rebound, another shot. They score! The Flames win it! Yeah, baby!
They score!
And the sea of red erupts!
Flames talk starts now on Sportsnet 960 The Fan. Here's Pat Steinberg and Wes Gilbertson.
All right, let's get it going. It is Monday, March 10th, and we are underway this hour on Flames Talk. Another week begins. It's Pat Steinberg and Wes Gilbertson along with you on Apple, Spotify, Amazon, Seeker, or wherever you get your podcasts. We're coming at you from our slightly less functional Groundworks downtown studio. I have no idea why, but we are. Hi, Wes. What's going on?
Hey, buddy.
We are available on Apple, Spotify, Amazon, Seeker, or wherever you get your podcasts. And, of course, live right here on Sportsnet 960 The Fan. Text line's open at 960-960, and we will definitely dive in on the text line this hour on the program. So, another week begins, and the playoff race in the Western Conference remains extremely close. It's Calgary sitting in eighth place, one up on Vancouver and St. Louis, then four up on Utah. The Flames are the only team of those first three, Calgary, Vancouver, St. Louis, to win their game over the weekend. Blues lost in overtime, Canucks lost in regulation on Sunday. And so here we are, Wes. The week begins. The Flames are in a playoff spot. They've got 19 games to go. And they are in a spot where they're in control of their own destiny, and they're protecting from, at least for the time being, they're the team protecting a playoff spot.
Yeah, and I'm sure you and I aren't the only ones in this city who are awfully excited and have been for a while about Wednesday's game between the Flames and Vancouver Canucks. Obviously, it's not the game that it all ultimately comes down to, but this could potentially be a major swing in this wild card race as who prevails in this last head-to-head of the season.
So here are your playoff odds on this March 10th. Over at Money Puck, I used two spots for playoff odds. I'm just saying this is all this is just arbitrary. They both use different formulas, but over at Money Puck, your playoff probabilities for the four teams in question: Vancouver's at 42.9%, St. Louis 29.2%, Calgary at 28.3%, and then Utah at 24.3%. So that's at Money Puck. So it's Vancouver, St. Louis, Calgary, Utah in terms of playoff odds there. And then over Dom Lecision at The Athletic has Vancouver first at 54%, Calgary next at 23%, Utah sitting at 16%, and St. Louis at 14%. So The Athletic has Vancouver, Calgary, Utah, St. Louis. So slight differentiation between Money Puck and The Athletic, and that doesn't really mean anything. They're just a couple of different ways of going about the playoff projections. And Calgary's magic number right now is 19.0, or 38 points to clinch a playoff spot. That's points gained by the Flames or lost by the Canucks. So you wanted to kind of go through the exercise of going through the two teams, the four teams rather, and going through the chances for each of the teams involved in this, the bottom of the Western Conference playoff race. And are we adding anybody else into that mix? Like, is LA a playoff team for you? Is Minnesota going to figure it out? Like, are we convinced that it's just the one spot that is up for grabs right now?
I wouldn't say that I'm convinced it's just the one spot, and yet, you know, I think the chances of the Flames reeling in, or even the Canucks reeling in the Kings for that third place in the Pacific, like, it would take the bottom really falling out for the Kings, who are currently 6 points up. And I sort of look at it the same way with the Anaheim Ducks. Like, for that same reason, I have a hard time including them in the wild card race, especially with how many teams they're going to need to climb over. So while I'm not ready to say it's only that one spot available, and let me correct myself, because I said the Kings were 6 points up on the Flames and Canucks. It's 6 on the Canucks and 5 on the Flames.
Yeah.
But I think realistically, the pathway to the playoffs, whether you're the Flames or Canucks, is that second wild card.
I think so too. I don't really. It feels like the while things can happen and lots of stuff can play itself out, I think it's a pretty safe bet the Flames, if they make the playoffs, or any of these teams, they'll be playing Winnipeg in round one. Like, Winnipeg is your majority favorite to finish first seed in the Western Conference, and Calgary, Vancouver, St. Louis, and Utah, if they're going to get in, it's probably going to be wild card route, so they're probably playing Winnipeg in round one. That's probably what you're looking at. So whatever team ends up getting in there is going to be going through the Central Division
if they're
going to go deep in the playoffs.
Yeah, absolutely. And so one of the reasons I wanted to throw this around today, it sort of dovetails with what I wrote over at the Post Media sites.
You know what you shouldn't throw around? Vente tees.
Yeah,
don't do that.
It's a tough day to be a Vente guy.
Ugh.
You know, if you were ever going
to
be...
Really looking forward to that, too.
I'm not a Starbucks aficionado. If you're ever going to be a small A or whatever they call it there, today would have been the day.
Yeah, it would have been a better tall day.
Yeah. I just wanted to kind of take a look at these four teams specifically. You have the Flames, the Canucks, the Blues, and the Coyotes. Wow, I'm having a day too.
The hockey club.
The former. I mean, I technically haven't been named yet, so they're
just Utah.
Most recently, the Coyotes. But I think it's kind of a fun exercise. You know, what's the reason for these teams to believe? What's the reason to doubt that they can pull it off? Because as you kind of outlined with the odds, this thing could still go a number of different ways.
Well, it's interesting. And 960-960 on the text line, we'd love to hear from you in terms of which way you're thinking this playoff race is going to go. Which of those four teams has the best chance of making it in? And maybe your thought is the Flames have the best chance making it in, which would be very fair. But it's funny because both Muddy Puck and The Athletic have Vancouver significantly. Like in the one, it's about 15%. In the other, it's more than 20% an edge for Vancouver to make the playoffs. So maybe we'll start with the Canucks. They are 54 to make the playoffs at Athletic, 42.9% over at Muddy Puck. Why do we think the Canucks are the team that have the best odds of making the playoffs by those metrics?
Well, I don't think this answer would necessarily factor into those metrics and not knowing everything that goes into them. But, you know, it's fair to say that the Vancouver Canucks of these four wildcard hopefuls have the best team on paper. They have the best player in this race in Quinn Hughes, albeit with some question about when he'll be able to play again. Like, on paper, the Canucks should be the team to beat. If we were sitting here in October saying which of these four teams has the best season, it would have been no doubt across the board. Everyone would have been picking the Canucks. And so I don't think that answers your question about the metrics, but
I know. I don't even know what the formulas are in terms of how each guy is putting them together. But why would, for many people, Vancouver be the team that leads the way in terms of this conversation? I bet if you were to poll a lot of other people around the league, Vancouver would probably come out on top too.
I think for me, the biggest answer is Quinn Hughes, if and when he's healthy. But I think it goes maybe further than that, in that Vancouver has the most players with the pedigree to be difference makers in this race. You know, we haven't seen it from Elias Pettersson. And, you know, one of the reasons for doubt is that we continue to not see it with Elias Pettersson. But they have the horses, right? They have the guys who should be able to carry a team to a playoff spot. And I think that's probably the best answer for why, whether it's the model or just kind of consensus, why they seem to have the most rosy outlook. Although you and I have talked many times about, hey, at what point is this just one of those seasons? At what point do they just fade away? And there's so many questions in Vancouver, right? What's going on with Quinn Hughes, and when's he going to be able to play again? How soon can they get Thatcher Demko back? And when he returns, can he stay healthy? When's Elias Pettersson going to start producing like he's supposed to? How is Brock Besser going to react to the slight of having his general manager basically come out and say, yeah, we didn't get offered very much for him, or we probably
basically
would have traded
him. Basically said we want a first-round pick for him, and we didn't get that.
Yeah, and so there's so many questions in Vancouver that I'm not as bullish on them as those two models are, but I understand why, if someone handed you $20 and said, hey, you got to bet on the wild card race, the Vancouver Canucks might be your most obvious wager.
Vancouver has, I think, if Thatcher Demko returns and returns positively, I think Vancouver has the potential to have the type of goaltending you'd need to get in with Demko and Lankinen. They have obviously got the skill and the high-end skill. None of these teams in question have a player like Quinn Hughes. So that, I think, and again, this team was a shot away or a game away from playing in the Western Conference Final last year. So I think all of those things would lead you to point to the Canucks as the team that would have the best chance. Their strength of schedule in terms of the opponents they have left, points percentage 556 in terms of who the Canucks have left on their docket, which of the other two teams or the three teams not named the Flames is the highest. The Flames have the second highest points percentage of opposing teams at 548, then Utah and St. Louis has the easiest, if you will, road to make it, at least based on strength of schedule, which I put very, very little into in these conversations.
Yeah, just because they all end up being so close. Like the difference between the Canucks at, I think you said 558 and the Blues at 518.
518, yeah.
I mean, I don't think it's that big of a difference. The one thing I will say is the Flames are a little fortunate with the scheduling this week, right? They host the Vancouver Canucks on Wednesday, but the Canucks will be arriving in the wee hours. They play host to the Montreal Canadiens tomorrow night. Yep. And so while the Canucks have an opportunity to move back in front of the Flames in the wild card race before that crucial game on Wednesday, the Flames really need to take advantage of a team that's on the tired side of a back-to-back.
St. Louis, 29.2% odds or 14% odds at Money Puck and The Athletic. On Money Puck, they've got the second best odds. They have them ahead of Calgary, but The Athletic has them last behind even Utah in this conversation. And you know that the Blues are fascinating. You've got Jordan Binnington, who's playing some really good hockey since the break and being Canada's gold medal winning goaltender. You've got their record under Jim Montgomery since he's taken over as their head coach. But they also don't have Colton Parayko likely for the rest of the season. If he does return, it'll be very, very late in the regular season. So the Blues are in a situation where they're not necessarily, A, they've got the most games played in this conversation, and B, they've got the biggest injury maybe to overcome here between now and the end of the regular season.
Yeah, not knowing the severity of Quinn Hughes' injury, Colton Parayko becomes sort of he is the most glaring long-term loss. Like the timeline was 6 weeks, which basically, and that was 6 weeks to be reevaluated.
Reevaluated.
I think best case scenario, you might get him back for one or two final games of the regular season. But the thing I look at, buddy, the most with the St. Louis Blues is their record under Jim Montgomery. And if you go to the day that Montgomery was hired by the Blues when they made that coaching change at the end of November, they have the seventh best point percentage in the Western Conference since that time, which means they've, under Jim Montgomery, They've been a playoff caliber team. And so I think that's your biggest reason for optimism if you're the Blues. The flip side of that is what you mentioned with Parayko out, but also that you're just two less games doesn't sound like a huge deal until you get to this time of year. And now you've really lost a couple of key opportunities to gain ground when the rest of the teams have games in hand on you. And so while I expect the Blues to continue to clip along at a pretty good point percentage, I already wonder if they sort of run out of time to make it up. Yeah.
And Utah just feels like not only are they four back, but they also have three teams that they need to pass.
Yeah.
And I honestly, I really like Utah's team. I really like their goaltending. And obviously Connor Ingram's not going to be with him for a little bit, and we wish him all the best with what he's going to go through in the NHLPA program. And he came out and told us a little bit about what was going on in his life over the weekend. So wish nothing but the best for Connor Ingram. But I wonder if, again, Utah is a situation where it's just not only too much to overcome, but also too many teams to leap over.
Yeah, and I think that is the likelihood. I'm going to be curious to see how this unfolds for them, kind of twofold. A, I think the buzz that is going to be generated in Salt Lake with the possibility that their first-year team could be playoff-bound, like, there's a chance for them to really ride a wave of enthusiasm in that market. There's a chance for a fan base that didn't even have a team at this point a year ago to really get invested in this. And I wonder how that might give them a boost down the stretch. But I also wonder about the fact, you know, if you go back to their time in Arizona, this was a team that had very limited exposure to the playoffs or really even the playoff race. They missed in the last four seasons. I believe they've qualified for the postseason once in the past 12 years. And so you've got a bunch of go-to guys who really haven't been there and done that, right? You've got guys like Dylan Gunther and Logan Cooley and there's
Clayton Keller.
Yeah. Their starting netminder, Carl Vimelka, has never played a playoff game. Keller is maybe the exception in that he's played a handful of playoff games in his career. But, you know, the one thing, it can go either way. It can be a case of, you know, when you don't know, sometimes you can't be overwhelmed by the situation. But I just wonder if they have enough big game experience coupled with the deficit that they're already facing to stay in the race.
It sure does feel like Calgary and Vancouver, if you ask me. Like, when it comes down to it, and we're into April, and the Flames have four or five games to go, and they're chasing or protecting or whatever the case may be, it feels like it'll be against Vancouver. It just, the way this situation shapes up, it feels like the Canucks are the team to do it. And here's the thing about the Flames. I mean, we just kind of handicap the other teams, and we talk about the Flames all the time. This, of course, is called Flames Talk, but the Flames are the 32nd team overall in goals for, which in the last 10, 15 years, a team 32nd in goals for has never made the playoffs. So that would be the concerning part of Calgary's playoff push, is that they're the lowest scoring team in the NHL. On the other hand, they do a really good job of winning the type of games that this type of year throws at you, winning the type of games that the postseason throws at you, low scoring, tooth and nail, fight till the end, those types of things. That's kind of the type of games the Flames have been playing all year long and are quite comfortable in.
Yeah, the sort of interesting thing for me when you get down to Vancouver and the Flames, and I'm like you, buddy, I really expect those to kind of be the last two standing at the end. What I think is so interesting is you've got a Flames team that has needed a lot to go right to be in this spot. They've really needed to make the most of their limited offense. They've needed Dustin Wolf to be terrific. They've had good fortune. They haven't had a ton of absences in their lineup, that sort of thing. Obviously, a couple guys out season ending. But there's been a lot of things that have gone right for the Flames, and they need them to continue to go right. And at the same time, some of those things that have gone wrong for the Vancouver Canucks, if you're a Flames fan, you need them to continue to go wrong, right? There's just been so much upheaval, so much drama in that market. There's been so many question marks that have surrounded their key guys. It's sort of this weird battle that pits a team that's had a lot go right for them versus a team that's had almost nothing go right.
Yeah.
And I'm curious to see how that continues to unfold over the next 5+ weeks.
Okay. Text line 960-960. This says from Bill in Northwest Calgary, offense wins games, defense wins championships. With that said, I'm worried about scoring and the Flames, and understandably so. This says Vancouver needs Hughes and Demko to be healthy to get in. Calgary needs Wolf to keep up the Calder level play. I'm team tank, so go Vladar. That comes from Aaron. This says, look at the team that has the best goaltending. That's the team that's going to get in. Of those four teams, you can make a pretty easy argument that the Flames have the best goaltending. I was just taking a look at some other advanced stats for a conversation we're going to have coming up on the roundtable here in a few minutes this hour on Flames Talk. And the only, and I know that you love these types of stats, but over at goals, wins above replacement and standings points above replacement over at Evolving Hockey, Connor Hellebuck 1, Dustin Wolf too. I mean, that's just another metric that points towards Dustin Wolf, probably of the four, being the best goaltender. Demko Lankinen could be a very formidable tandem. Mm-hmm. Vemelka's played really well. Binnington's on a tear since the Four Nations.
Yeah.
But I do think that in the end, you can make a real good argument that the Flames have the best goaltending of the group.
I mean, coming off Saturday's masterclass against the Montreal Canadiens, I think it's hard to dispute. If I'm going to sit here and I just wrote a few hours ago that one of the reasons to believe the St. Louis Blues could get in is that Jordan Binnington, as you said, is on a tear, and we all know what a difference a hot goalie can make at this time of year. Well, you know, if those words are coming off my fingertips a few hours ago, then I absolutely can't discount what Dustin Wolf could mean to the Calgary Flames. I mean, I think we've long ago determined that if we're sitting here talking about the Calgary Flames preparing for game one of a playoff series, the chief reason that they're there, not the only reason, but the chief reason that they're there is Dustin Wolf.
Another Bill says, I'm still waiting for who the horses are that are going to take them into the playoffs, and a solid reason why Vancouver should be favored. Their superstar isn't playing like a superstar, and their best player isn't playing because he's injured. Please tell me who else will bring them to the promised land.
Well, and I think we sort of covered both sides of that coin, right? There's an opportunity for Hughes, who we acknowledge isn't playing, and for Pettersson, who we acknowledge is struggling, to sort of right the ship down the stretch. I mean, if you're the Flames, one of the things that makes you nervous is the possibility that one guy gets back and plays like himself and the other guy just gets back to playing like himself, period. And that could be the difference in this race.
Dan says, guys, thanks for taking my text. Good on you for shaking off the foul up to start the show. Everyone coughs one up in front of their own net sometimes. Calgary has the best chance. They are where they are without scoring. If they get a couple guys scoring to complement their goaltending and stingy D, they should get in. That's from Dan and Cochrane. And this reads, I think the winner of the game on Wednesday gets in. Dale says, Flames could easily win 6 or 7 of 9 in April. So even if they fall back by a couple points in March, I still think they have a very good chance. There you go on the text line at 960-960.
Let me just hit that last one really quick. Was that from Dale?
Dale.
Yeah. I think one of the keys for the Flames in this playoff chase, and it's going to be to not let themselves ever get too far out of it. And when I say too far, I mean like no more than 2 or 3 points out. Because I think with their struggles to score and with the way they've been doubted throughout this season, I do think it's going to be tough. I understand what the schedule looks like down the stretch. I understand they have Anaheim twice and they have San Jose twice in April. And so there's an opportunity to really go on a run. They also have Vegas twice. They have the LA Kings. So they're not all, you know, they're not all easy spots on the bingo card. But I do think sort of specific to the makeup of this Flames team, it's going to become very tough if they fall even a little bit behind.
Well, they don't play again until Wednesday. We'll see if they are tied with, a point up, or a point back of the Vancouver Canucks when they play that game against the Canucks, because Vancouver plays Tuesday night against the Montreal Canadiens. It's Pat and Wes along with you on this hour of Flames Talk. Can't find the latest episodes of your favorite HDTV, Discovery, and Food Network shows? Rogers Xfinity TV has the newest seasons of the top-rated shows on these popular channels, while other providers are no longer including them in their TV lineup. If your TV provider doesn't carry these channels, you're missing out on new seasons of Celebrity IOU, Hometown, Beat Bobby Flay, Expedition X, and more. Don't be fooled by other channels pretending to be these networks you know and love. Get the latest from Rogers Xfinity TV at Rogers.com.
Flames Talk is on the air and streaming on the Sportsnet mobile app. Sportsnet 960 The Fan, Calgary.
All right, Steinberg and Wes along with you on this hour of Flames Talk. And now Derek Wills joins us to complete our daily Flames Roundtable, brought to you by Mercedes-Benz Country Hills. The fastest growing segment of vehicles they sell is electric. Informed buyers are coming to see. Perhaps you should discover why minutes from the Calgary Airport. Okay, gents. So as we get our daily Flames Roundtable going, Wes Gilbertson of Post Media, Derek Wills. My name is Pat Steinberg. Dustin Wolf just did something no other rookie goaltender has done in Calgary Flames history, and that is post three shutouts in a single season as a rookie. He blanks Montreal with a very impressive 1-0 win on Saturday, which has the Flames and keeps the Flames in a playoff spot to start off the week, and at least for the rest of the next 48 hours or so, they will remain in a playoff spot as a result. So now that we're into the final quarter of the season, and now that there are two of us who do not have a ballot for the Calder Trophy, and one of us, the Calgary chapter chair of the Professional Hockey Writers Association, Wes Gilbertson, does have a ballot for the Calder Trophy. But if we did all have ballots, gents, where would Dustin Wolf be ranking on yours?
Well, I am the Calgary Flames radio play-by-play announcer, so the right answer and my honest answer, even if it does sound like I'm being a homer, Dustin Wolf would be number one. It's the most important position in the sport, in my opinion, maybe outside of quarterback and football, the most important position in any sport. And let's be honest, the Flames would not be where they are, and that's sitting in a Stanley Cup playoff spot with 19 games to go in the season, if not for Dustin Wolf, who has had a fantastic first season as a full-time NHLer. He's 23 years old, doesn't play like it, and I do think he was probably a little bit worn down before the Four Nations break, but has played some really good hockey after resting up and coming out of that break. And when I look at who he's competing with, so it looks to me like a four-horse race. And, you know, it's funny. I wondered, and I was asking Wes and some others in the media room today if the odds had changed after Dustin Wolf got his third shutout of the season on Saturday night. And nope, they haven't. So on one side, I see he's plus 3,000. On a couple of other sites, I see he's plus 2,500. So if you think Dustin Wolf's going to win the Calder Trophy, now would be a good time to put a couple of bucks on that. But the other three guys who he's competing with, so Macklin Celebrini, he's had a really good rookie season. He's the first overall pick. And when you're the first overall pick, obviously the spotlight is on you, even if you're playing in San Jose for a Sharks team that for the second straight year is the worst team in the National Hockey League. And that's why he wouldn't be number one on my ballot. Yeah, he's been productive for the Sharks, but they are not competitive. And that is a factor for me. Lane Hutson, we got to see him the other night, and I thought he was fantastic for the Canadiens in that 1-0 loss. And, you know, he's a small defenseman tied for the lightest blue liner in the National Hockey League. But, you know, he's a big-time player, even his rookie season. And he would probably be second on my ballot because the Canadiens are in the fight for a playoff spot, and he's been a big part of their surprise season. And then there's Matvei Michkov, who would be fourth on my ballot, playing for a decent Flyers team, and he's a good player. But again, probably not a playoff team, and I don't think he's had as big an impact as the other three guys. So, guys, I'll put my Flames Homer hat on and put Dustin Wolf at the top of my ballot.
I don't want to go nerd alert on everyone and lead with a definition, but I do think it's important just to stress, and as Pat pointed out, I do have a vote. The Calder Trophy goes to, quote unquote, the player selected as the most proficient in his first year of competition in the National Hockey League. And the way that's worded, and the reason I bring that up, Wilsey, is that I think it's important, and I think it's essentially the job of those who do have the privilege of casting ballots to sort of throw out the part that you mentioned about the Sharks not being a good hockey team. You're absolutely right. They stink. It just, if Macklin Celebrini turns out to be the most outstanding rookie, it really can't matter where his team finished in the standings. Now, that doesn't make it less impressive that Dustin Wolf has an opportunity to lead his team to a playoff spot. And I'll tell you, as a voter, I put a lot of stock in what I see in the past or in the final couple months of the season. Always, like, you, I'll even go back to trying to judge Brock Faber last year, and in games that mean a lot when he was playing a ton of minutes and playing them really well. You know, that shows you about the player. It will show us a lot about Dustin Wolf if he continues to perform at the level he is down the stretch. I have a hard time making ballot picks today because I said it this morning at the Saddledome, Wilsey, you heard me say I really have a tricky time choosing right now between Wolf, Celebrini, and Hudson. For me, Michkov has sort of faded out of the race, but
yeah,
I have a hard time putting those three in order. I was really impressed with Hudson the other night. Obviously, a guy I hadn't had an opportunity to see live. Macklin Celebrini continues to, you know, put up numbers that 18-year-olds aren't supposed to put up. He scored 20 goals. He's second in rookie scoring with 48 points. Like that to me, and the point per game, which would be tops among rookies, that's really impressive. And then, hey, I've watched Dustin Wolf as much as anybody and just continue to be blown away. I think because of the amount of opportunity I've had to see him, I think Wolf is my favorite today. I just want to caution against thinking that it's all tied to how the Calgary Flames playoff chase turns out.
So I take your caution and only partially listen to it. No, I get what you're saying, but if it was right now, because the Flames are the one team sitting in a playoff spot and Montreal is not. I'm sorry, Derek. We're having one heck of a day over here today. So I spilled my tea to start off the show, and it's just completely hooped our entire day. And now Wes just spilled a little bit of his coffee. So that's what I was laughing about. We had to start the show 12 minutes late because of my stupidity. And Jeff and Matt are doing yeoman's work in here, just fixing everything on the fly. So Wes spilling his coffee made me laugh. I apologize. Because of course that would happen. So
I heard something, but I wasn't sure what it was.
It was he did not ruin the entire control room, unlike another donkey. Anyway, Wolf is the guy who has his team in the playoffs or is on a playoff team, and that does mean something to me. It does not mean everything to me, but honestly, guys, it as of right now, I think it comes down to me to Wolf and Hudson, and I love what Celebrini's doing, and I think Celebrini should be in the conversation, and I agree that Michkov has faded a little bit, but I was just doing, because I knew I was going to ask this question to you guys, I did a little research myself, and the fact that, you know, depending on what site you use, and I use a bunch of them, but you go over to Money Puck and you take a look at Dustin Wolf and his goals saved above expected. It's among the best in the NHL. You go over to Natural Stat Trick and see him with the third best 5-on-5 save percentage in the NHL this year. And then you go over to Evolving Hockey, and I really like their wins above replacement model for goalies and how many wins and standing points a team has because of their goaltender. Dustin Wolf is a 4.6 wins above replacement or 8.7 standings points above replacement, and that puts him second in the NHL. Not second among rookie goalies, second in the NHL behind only Connor Hellebuyck, who's almost, a shoe-in to win the Vezina Trophy this year. And, you know, Kevin Woodley, our goalie guru, messaged me after the game on Saturday. He said, Wolf's back into top five in his metrics over at Clearside Analytics, back into top five for adjusted save percentage. And like, we should be talking about how many Vezina votes Dustin Wolf gets, let alone Calder votes. And with no disrespect to Hudson or Celebrini or Michkov or any of the other, like Cutter Gauthier is having a good year. Zach Bolduc in St. Louis is having a good rookie season. Like, there's some good rookies around the league, but can you say any of those guys you could make a salient argument would also be getting votes for another major trophy? Like, Dustin Wolf might get Vezina trophy votes this year. Mm-hmm. I don't think Celebrini or Hudson are going to get Hart trophy votes, right? And so I think that really impacts my decision-making as well. I don't have a ballot, so it doesn't matter. But if I did, yeah, it's hard. Not just because I'm the host of Flames Talk and not just because Wilsey's the play-by-play voice of the Flames, like, go take a look at what Dustin Wolf is doing right now and who he is in conversations with. It's Hellebuyck and Vasilevsky and some of the best goalies on the planet that he's being grouped in with. I don't know how you couldn't have him at this stage, and things can change in the next 19 games. But as we enter the final quarter of the season, he'd be number one on my list.
Wilsey, just let me jump in here for a second quick, because I just want to make sure that I'm not maybe making it sound like I'm saying something I'm not. I think Dustin Wolf has as good of a chance or deserves to have as good of a chance of winning this award as either of the other guys, as Hutson or Celebrini. I want to be careful with the idea that's been thrown around that if the Flames make the playoffs, Dustin Wolfe automatically should win the Calder. And I didn't get to write the definitions of the awards. I know you didn't say that. I don't want to be the Bob Hartley alert porcupine at the balloon party here. I think it's going to be a really tough. How do you compare Macklin Celebrini with the highest point per game to Hutson with some numbers we haven't seen from a rookie defenseman in a long time to Dustin Wolfe, who, as Pat said, could be in the Vezina conversation? That's the challenging part here, is in a lot of years, I think all three of these guys would probably deserve to win it.
Yeah, and you know what's funny is that for me, and I think we all agree that Michkov is the number four guy on this list. So the top three candidates for the Calder Trophy all play different positions. So it's like comparing apples to oranges to pears. I mean, there's no direct comparison here. And the other thing that I think could be a factor, fellas, is Lane Hutson plays in Montreal, one of the biggest media markets in the league, and in the Eastern time zone. And then you've got Dustin Wolfe playing in the Mountain time zone. And you've got Macklin Celebrini playing in the Pacific time zone. And I hate to say it, but I was once one of these people. I used to live in the Eastern time zone, and you just don't stay up to watch teams in the Mountain and Pacific time zones as often because it gets pretty late. So I do wonder about that. Something that would really help Dustin Wolfe's case is if he gets the start against the Maple Leafs in game one of the Flames' four-game road trip next week and plays really well, and maybe the Flames win that hockey game. I think that would certainly help his cause. But for me, it's a three-horse race. I think you can make strong arguments for all three guys. But again, I come back to the fact that at the start of the season, and this is me kind of being in the middle of it all too, and other people around the league wouldn't have the same perspective. But for me, at the start of the season, the biggest question mark when it came to the Flames was goaltending. You lost a legitimate number one guy, an elite guy at times in Jacob Markstrom, and you had two unproven commodities. You had Dan Vladar, a 28-year-old who's never been a number one or even a 1A or a 1B, and Dustin Wolfe, a 23-year-old rookie in his first full season in the league. And I would argue that thanks in most part to Dustin Wolfe, goaltending has been the Flames' biggest strength this season. So for me, that matters. And because of that, the Flames are in a playoff spot and will probably be in at least a battle for one the rest of the way here. So I don't get a vote. Wes, you're the only guy on this round table that does. But yeah, if I had a vote today, and this could change, but today, Dustin Wolfe would be number one on my ballot.
Yeah, and I wouldn't dispute that. One of the things about getting to watch him every second night is you just continue to be more and more impressed by the consistency of his performance. I'll mention one other thing, guys, that I'm really curious how it impacts. And it's not something that I believe should impact votes at all. But if you were essentially trying to research to figure out trends on Calder Trophy voting, one of the things that you'd find is that it's been very rare for a guy who's played in the National Hockey League more than maybe three or four games the previous season to win the Calder. Like, it just hasn't happened very often. Matty Beniers has played a handful after he signed out of college and won the Calder the next year.
But that guy who plays like 20 games the prior year doesn't meet the threshold?
He's eligible, but he almost never wins. And I don't know if that's something that, you know, maybe it makes the other guys subconsciously more impressive because you weren't sure what to expect. I don't think we actually saw the Dustin Wolfe that we're seeing now last season, so maybe it's a throwaway. But I just mentioned that because it's something that I do wonder how it's going to ultimately impact Dustin Wolfe. If someone's looking for a tiebreaker, and I hope this isn't the case, but if someone's looking for a tiebreaker, do they go with Celebrini because he's younger and because he'd never played in the NHL before? That shouldn't be a factor, but if you look at past voting results, you'll see that that's something that has kind of popped up.
Well, and the other thing is, and you know what, we'll save the second topic for Tuesday's show, because I want to actually spend some time on it. We don't have a ton of time. If for right now. So instead, I mean, this is a good topic to just keep on rolling with. It's Derek Wills, Wes Gilbertson, Pat Steinberg on the Daily Flames Roundtable. And Willsy, the, you know, the thing that, because you're right, I mean, who's voting and the fact that, you know, there's always that Eastern bias type thing that people worry about. I don't know how it plays out. Because, you know, I get this question a lot on Flames Talk postgame, either on the text line or on the phone lines. Like, do you think Wolf will win the Calder Trophy? And my legitimate answer, guys, is I have no idea. Because it's so hard for me to guess. What is it, like 90-plus guys or 90-plus people end up voting on the awards when it's all said and done? Is that usually how it works, Wes?
No, it would be even more.
Is it more than that? Okay.
Yeah, it's at least 5 in a market. And so
that vote, okay.
Yeah, 5 times 32. And
so, like, we're like, you know, pushing 200 people.
And then you've got some national voices. So, yeah, there's a large cross-section, I suppose.
So, Willsy, it's really hard for me to handicap how a group of, say, 200 voters is going to go because they're scattered all over the continent. And so I have no idea how they'll vote. And so there are years when it's very clear who's going to win. This one is a little bit less clear. But what I can say is with 63 games played for the Flames and a lot of other teams who I think should get it. And I would have Wolf at number one on my ballot. And I can't help but think about the early 2000s when Jose Theodore won the Hart Trophy and not Jerome Iginla because of one Montreal voter who didn't have Jerome in his top five when it's all said and done. And Willsy, that was what ended up doing it. Now, you know, it's a little bit more transparent now because everybody's votes are made public, so perhaps we don't have the same type of silliness there, but it is hard to really make a swing on how the actual vote is going to go because there's so many people involved.
And here's another factor, guys. Goalies tend not to win the Calder Trophy.
Yeah, not since
06. I mean, the last goaltender to win it, no, 09.
09, okay, sorry.
Yeah, and...
And he had 10 shutouts that
Andrew
year.
Raycroft. Yeah,
04 and 09 would be the last two goalies, those Mason and Raycroft.
Yeah, so you're talking 16 years here. So I'm not sure that hurts Dustin Wolf because obviously he is very much in the race for the Calder Trophy and definitely deserves to be. But you know something else that you factor in, and it's interesting. I don't get to vote on the Calder Trophy. I do get to vote on the Jack Adams for Coach of the Year, and different people factor in different things. So when I'm thinking about the Jack Adams, I'm like, okay, who are the top teams in the league? So I consider those guys. And then the other guys I consider are coaches who have exceeded expectations or helped their team exceed expectations. And I'm wondering if Ryan Huska gets some Jack Adams consideration because the Flames, maybe more so than any team in the league, have exceeded expectations this season. And I think it's the biggest reason why Bob Hartley won the award back in 2015. So different factors for different people. And, you know, even you look at the Hart Trophy, which is for most valuable player to his team. Quite often, it's just the best player in the league. So, and then there's the Norris Trophy. I think there should be a Bobby Orr Award for best offensive defenseman because, you know, the Norris Trophy quite often goes to the guy who puts up the most goals or points or both. So maybe there should be an award for best offensive or defensive defenseman, but interesting conversations, and I just think exciting from a Flames perspective that we're talking about Dustin Wolf and maybe talking about Ryan Huska as two guys who could be up for major NHL awards this season.
Well, and the last time the Flames had a Calder Trophy finalist was 2015 when Johnny Gaudreau finished third behind Aaron Ekblad, who, funny enough, is in the news on this Monday, and Mark Stone was number two in voting that year. And that was another one. And it's funny you bring that up. Like, I thought Johnny would at the very least be number two because of his of his reputation in the Northeast United States and all. And he finished third in voting that year. So I don't know how they're going to vote, but if it was right now on March 10th with a quarter of the season to go, I wasn't as confident in this maybe when we did this at the midway mark, but right now Dustin Wolf would be number one on my Calder vote on my Calder ballot rather if I had a vote. And again, the fact that we're talking about this guy potentially having Vezina Trophy conversation, that's what kind of does it for me. It kind of, and when I take a look at the goalies that he's in the conversation with, like Wins above replacement. Connor Hellebuck, 1. Dustin Wolf, 2. Lucas Dostal, 3. Andre Vasilevsky, 4. Anthony Stolarz, 5. Logan Thompson, 6. Those are some of the best goalies around the NHL, and Wolf's right there in the mix with them, sitting number 2. That can't be ignored in my eyes. So, yeah, fun conversation, boys. We'll do the second topic on Tuesday's roundtable. For now, good stuff, Wilsey. We will do this again on Tuesday. Enjoy the rest of your Monday, sir.
All right, guys. Have a good night.
He is Derek Wills. He's Wes Gilbertson. My name is Pat Steinberg. Thanks to Cam and Shan, our outstanding producers this hour, for being very flexible and very patient. And thanks to our engineers, Jeff and Matt, as well, for, you know, saving the station. That'll wrap us up this hour on Flames Talk. Wes Gilbertson's on Twitter at Wes Gilbertson. My name is Pat Steinberg, and the Daily Flames Roundtable is brought to you by Mercedes-Benz Country Hills. The fastest-growing segment of vehicles they sell is electric. Informed buyers are coming to see. Perhaps you should discover why. Minutes from the Calgary Airport.